Learn more.
Ask an attorney about Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney. All about Ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal Ask question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Yep, it's 8:02 in the Saturday morning, and the law office is open for you. If you have a legal question, all you have to do is to call. Your question can be about just about any area of law. If you have a question or a problem, don't even have to be a legal question. It can just be a problem I can help you with. But your question can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, personal injury, real estate matters, family law, child support, visitation, having a problem with a neighbor, having a problem at work. Doesn't really have to be a legal question. It could just be a problem as well. I'm just here to help as many people as I can in any way I can. And if you have a toll-free number, which is 877, always like that first call coming in. You have a toll-free number to call the show, 877-943-9673. So that's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And if I can help you, I certainly can. So you're listening on a variety of stations this morning all across the state of Florida. And, you know, you could be listening anywhere in the world, I guess, on the different formats and listen live and podcast and all kinds of things going on. So if you have you're listening, we're broadcasting today from Jacksonville, and our flagship station in Tampa, Salem, 570-910, 860-930, all of those, it's being fed back there, and they spread it around to some other stations as well. So we're on about 15 stations around Florida broadcasting on from Jacksonville today on 600 AM in Jacksonville. So if you would like to call, no matter where you are, you can call in and ask the question, and you will go live at 877-943-9673. One of our stations, Sun City Center, 96.3 FM. I was interviewed. It's called Connecting with Kim Show. And the interview was, of course, in person at their facility a month or so ago. But it's going to air this coming Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Connecting with Kim at 3:30, 96.3 FM. Kim was a fabulous interviewer. I put her right up there with the best. She, of course, got me to talk about a few things. And maybe you've never heard about me. How I got started in radio, why I do Ask an Attorney, lots of different things were discussed. I'm sure you would enjoy the interview. Connecting with Kim, 96.3 FM. Next week they're going to air it on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3:30. So really appreciate Kim doing that. It was a lot of fun. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And so we had a couple of interesting cases this week while the callers are lining up here, carefully crafting their question for me. So one of them was a daughter came in to see us. Her father had died, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. Mother just passed away. Client had a living trust, and most all the assets were in the trust, which is a good thing to avoid probate. The problem was mother died with a retirement account, and the beneficiary was her husband, who had died 5 or 6 years earlier. And the problem was there was no contingent beneficiary, 100% to my husband, should have been a contingent beneficiary, and if he wasn't living, then to equally to the two daughters. Well, there's no contingent beneficiary. So what does that mean now for the family? Well, that means that now the daughter has to have mother's will, and because everything else is in the trust, she's very, very surprised that there had to be a probate. And the reason there's a probate is because there was no contingent beneficiary on the retirement account. Retirement accounts generally don't go into a trust. Now, you can. You have to have special language not to have adverse tax situations and all that. But if you don't have a and they don't go in trust because they have beneficiaries that avoid probate, and you don't have them come into the trust, in this particular case, there was no contingent beneficiary. So therefore, if you got, you know, a couple $100,000 having to go through probate, you want to avoid probate. Probate's very expensive, so you want to avoid that. All right, let's go to Dove in Ponte Vedra.
Hello?
Yes. Who's this, Dave?
This is Doug.
Doug, okay. So what
How
can
are you
I
doing?
Good. And you're in Ponte Vedra. What can I do for you?
Well, a pretty basic question. I'm divorced. I had a long term romance for about 4 or 5 years. We were very serious. I was very serious with a lady. And, you know, she's going through one or two bumpy times financially, but nothing overwhelming. But when it came time to buy in a house. She didn't have the cash, so I wrote out a check for $11,000, and the mortgage went through. And in addition, I put down $10,000 for a new truck that we agreed on. Because this happens to be in Virginia, but it's the name had to go on. The truck had to go in her name. But make a long story short, as things go and all that. I got a call maybe about 6 months ago that things weren't working out. And I tried to patch things up, but I was wondering, and not to be invective, but I had thought about it. Is there any way I could add a lien on either of them properties? You know, I mean, I have the canceled checks on that.
Okay, now tell me about the properties again. You want to put who owns the property?
It's in her name.
And you would put a lien on it.
But I have the cancel check and the email saying that, you know, it's for the mortgage and all that.
Well,
nothing in writing between her and I.
So you stayed at these properties and helped improve these properties?
Yeah, I worked around there. I wouldn't say no. Oh, yeah. The plumbing and a few other things, yeah.
And you help pay the mortgage
and this
payments.
This is over a 6 month period from the time that the mortgage went into effect, and then.
So, how much money did you pay for the mortgage?
I gave her $11,000, and I believe that was the amount that was put down to as a down payment or to secure the mortgage and start the payments. And then I added some monthly assistance, $2,500 for about 5 months.
Well, first of all, you can't just put a lien on a property unless you maybe did some work on the property where you had a contract. Just paying the mortgage payment, I don't think you could put a lien on the property. You'd have to sue her and get a judgment, and the judgment becomes a lien.
Okay.
If you loaned her money to make the mortgage payment and she signed a promissory note, you could probably sue and get a judgment. The judgment becomes a lien. She's just going to say, though, I mean, I'm just going to guess what she would say.
Oh, there's mutual agreement and all that.
She's going to say that was just rent. That was a rent payment.
Right.
Well, you know, you paid $2,000 a month for, you know, 6 months, and it's $12,000. You owe me $1,000.
Right.
You gave her $11.
Right, right. Okay,
I mean,
okay.
So that's what she's going to say.
And the same with the truck, right? Same with the truck. I had a cancel check and some emails, you know, that this is where she picked out her truck and all that. And that's probably the same. There's nothing in writing.
She's going to say that's a gift.
Right? Okay.
We had a great relationship, you know, and he gave me a nice gift, you know?
Okay.
That's what I'm guessing she would say.
And I'm not really a vindictive person. It's just that I get thought about it, and, you know, some things that, like a lot of relationships, they turn a little crappy in ways mm-hmm. and all that. And I got thinking, what the hell?
Did you learn anything for next time?
Yeah. One of it is, I did. I did. But you know, relationships, you know, she is a beautiful lady and all that. And, you know, her heart sort of over.
Yeah,
I had no problem doing what I did, you know,
yeah.
But did I learn something? Yeah, I did. Sure, I did. Yeah, you should learn from things like this, so.
All right. Well, Doug, thank you for calling so much, and I wish I could help
you. No, thank you. You have a great show.
Okay, all right, thank you so much. I wish I could help you more. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. If you have a legal question, it can be just about anything. And, hey, we even do a little counseling here and there. And, you know, people need to learn from things they do that didn't quite work out. And you do experience new things all the time. So a lot of times on new things, you just go through a learning process on what to do next time. 877 full toll free number 943-9673. I get questions along the same line of people are together for a long, long time. And is there any such thing as a common law marriage in Florida? No, there's no common law marriage in Florida. So no matter how long you live together, you're never assumed to be married. Now some states do. Authorized common law or consider common law. So if you became commonly law married in another state and moved to Florida, would that be valid? And that's always an interesting question. Now, to me, the question is always, how do you prove you lived? How do you prove you were commonly law married in another state? Do you have a certificate? Did somebody look at it, investigate it, and stamp it and approve it? You have a lot of issues there on proof of common law marriage, I think. And when you assume you're married in one state, the question to me is, do you have any proof you were married in the other state? And do you have any proof the other state recognized you as being married? And is there something in writing? All right, toll-free number if you want to call the show, 877-943-9673.
Dave in Lakeland is
all right.
In the air.
Let's go to Barry in Lakeland.
This is Dave.
Dave in Lakeland. Are you in Lakeland?
Yes. How you doing today?
All right, good. And you?
Good, thank you. I have a real estate question. Recently, I've been summoned. Quick backstory: I purchased a property from an individual about 2017. He was behind on his taxes, and then he approached me. He needed to do a little investment, so I basically gave him some money and I took over his deed. However, he did have a private mortgage on that particular property, and some kind of agreement that I had, verbal agreement between me and him that I was going to pay 6 months of that private note, and then that he was waiting for some kind of settlement and to satisfy. However, none of that happened. I was paying on the note. The deed is on my name. It was transferred, and it's been about 2 years. And then I guess now the lady that owns the note, the private mortgage, she wants to, she just summoned him and his wife because they're, the note is originally with them. But my name came out, too, because, the property got transferred over to my company, basically. What is the ramifications of this? I mean, what is the steps that I should take?
All right, so you own the property, but it's still subject to a mortgage. You don't have a free and clear warranty title. So you probably got a quitclaim deed deeding it to you, but there's still a mortgage on the property, and you want to know if the note is also a lien on the property?
Yeah, I actually did get warranty deed. I went through a title company, and I did the transfer subject to the existing mortgage. Now, the funny thing about the existing private mortgage I had a balloon payment due for that mortgage back in 2015, which the owner of the mortgage never called it due. You know, so she was just collecting rent from, or I guess they were paying her like a, he was telling me it was a predatorial kind of note. You know, she had no right to charge him 15% interest. But that's not a story.
Well, a promissory note, I guess. Well, a promissory note is not a mortgage on a property, though. There's a big difference between a promissory note, just a straight promissory note, and a mortgage.
So I guess he had a note and a mortgage recorded.
And it's a lien. It was on that property, though. It was a mortgage on that property. And you bought it.
Correct.
But you bought it subject to the mortgage because you knew about the mortgage.
Yes, I was aware of the mortgage, right.
And that was disclosed on the title report.
Yes, it was.
Okay. All right, so I think your question's a little complicated to do quickly on a radio show like this. So I think if you want to call my office, I have an attorney that does, you know, foreclosures and looks at mortgages on properties and can advise you after looking at all the documents. So if you'd like to email me for him to call you, I would be glad to transfer your name and phone.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so my email address is Joe, J-O-E. @attypip.com.
A-P-P-Y?
A-T-T, Tom. A-T-T-Y, abbreviation for attorney. P-I-P.com.
P-I-P.com. Got it.
All right. Send me an email and I'll have him call you. His name is Jim. Okay, thanks.
Will do. Thank you.
All right, you're listening. You ask an attorney all about Florida law. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673.
Wilma in Jacksonville.
Let's go to Roma in Jacksonville.
Yeah, Wilma.
Wilma in Jacksonville.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. Bobby is out of Florida, but I'm going to give it a try to pick your brain, and I'm thankful for your services and what you do.
Well, my pleasure.
The radio show.
Well, thank you. My pleasure.
My question is, my mom passed in 2012. The house, it's been in her name since then. A brother of ours living in it, chosen to live a life that we didn't agree upon with, but what can we do? We couldn't draw him, you know, outside the house anyway to the streets. But we just learned that he passed.
Your brother
now
passed?
He passed. So the house is torn apart. Mm-hmm. So we don't know at this point what to do. Is this worth legal battle?
Okay, so the house is still in mother's name?
Yes. Three brothers of us still standing, and well, sons and grandkids also. So I don't know.
Did the mother who owned the house, did she have a will?
She did not leave a will, as far as I know.
Okay. Well, in the state of Florida, everyone has a will. If you don't have one, the state of Florida has made one for you. It's called a statutory will. So basically, the statutory will that was made for her has to now be probated. So a majority of, she has three children still living?
Correct.
Okay, and she was not married at the time?
No, she was not.
Okay, and the one son who died, did that son have children?
He had children, but he died.
Yeah, I know, but he had children.
He had one, deceased. Yeah.
He had one child that also died?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. The one son that died, does he have any living children remaining?
No.
No, okay. All right, so in this case, the three children that are living, can two of them can agree to appoint one of them as the personal representative of the estate? The personal representative of the estate then can sell the property and split the proceeds among the three children.
Okay. So that doesn't stretch out to the kids of the brothers. My son, my brother's kids, and my sister's kids, right? Doesn't stretch out.
The heirs would be the three.
Their portion.
The heirs would be the three, from what I understand your question, the heirs would be the three children of the deceased mother.
Okay, got it.
So the majority of those two can agree to appoint a personal representative. And there might be a way, because it was homestead, even to do a simplified probate proceeding, transferring the house to the three of them. But at least one of the three needs to go have a probate attorney advise them of how to get the assets or the home out of the deceased mother's name. And if the person that wants to do that has a probate attorney or state planning attorney or an attorney they know, they could certainly use that person. If they don't have anyone, I would be more than happy to help them myself.
Okay. But remind me again your website or email.
So my website is attypip.com. Just attorney, okay. ATTYPIP, first three letters of my last name, .com. My email address is Joe, J-O-E, at ATTYPIP.com. If you'd like my cell number, I am in Jacksonville as we speak here. So if you'd like my cell number, if someone wants to call me, I'll give you my cell number, 727-667-3967.
Okay. Got it.
All right.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And if I can help you in any way, all you have to do is to dial that number, 877-943-9673. Yeah, a lot of people are surprised to know the state of Florida has a will already prepared for you. Of course, you can trump that will by making your own will. But if you never have a will and die, that to me, that means that you didn't really... Well, you know, people have a lot of excuses for not doing things. They just put it off too long, and then they die unexpectedly. A lot of people do wills on their deathbed. I mean, that's not all that uncommon to really get sick and really worry about your estate plan and what you want to do. And other people just put it off too long and never get to it. I had a lady one time call me from a hospital, and she says, "Do you do hospital visits?" I mean, you know, I wanted to get together my estate planning documents. And, you know, I've listened to you on the radio a long time. I'm in the hospital. Do you do hospital visits? And she actually called me at home on a Sunday morning. And I said, "Yes, I do. I do. I come to hospitals. I come to nursing homes. I'll be glad to help you." She says, "Oh, well, I'm not sick enough yet. I'll call you a little later." I actually said that. Now, the poor lady died about 2 weeks later in the hospital, never having done her estate planning. So the family then calls me. So now we had to probate mom's estate. So probate, you know, is a 3-6% fee generally. Takes 6 months to a year. It's a public record. It's a long, sometimes a long, drawn-out process people have to get involved in, and they could have easily avoided the whole probate process with just a little different way of doing their estate plan. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Anything I can do to help you, I'd be more than glad to give it a shot. And your question can be just about anything. It can be about law. It can be just a problem situation you're in and need to talk to someone to give you a little different perspective, perhaps. and a little different guidance, and you know, peace of mind is worth a lot. So if you have a question, please ask for an answer. 877, toll-free number, 943-9673. And phone lines are certainly open right now. I'd be more than glad to help anyone who would like to call. So some of the things, now, you know, a lot of people think they don't need estate planning, and one of the options is just to put a child's name on a bank account, for example. So let's say you don't have a home, you have mainly financial accounts. So I've had many people just come in and say, well, I'm just going to put my son or daughter's name on this account. And then when I die, they'll be the owner of the account, or they'll be the beneficiary of the account. Well, you know, when you do that, let's say you put them on as a co-owner of the account, then this deal is you've made a gift. So if mother puts daughter's name on an account and thinking that's going to avoid probate because when mother dies, it's going to go to the daughter, then what mother did is actually made a gift. So the daughter gets sued, divorced, has an accident. That money's in jeopardy because the daughter owns half of it. So it's not a wise thing to do most of the time when you do that. So if you just have beneficiaries on accounts, if you have a beneficiary on an account, then nobody can get to that until death. You have to have a death certificate to get to the money. So that's not the best thing. So suppose you become incapacitated. All right, let's go to Michael in Plant City.
Hey, Joe. Hey, you kind of worried me this morning. I turned on the radio at 8:60 a.m. and you weren't there. So
really? On 8:60?
Yeah, Greg Gutfeld was on there and you weren't there. So I was like, so I had to start scanning the station to see where you're at. You're on 910 now.
Oh, 8:60. Okay, Greg Gutfeld. Okay, well, that's
all yeah, right. Yeah. Hey, I got a quick question. I'm a realtor, and I've got a piece of property that I've got up for sale. And the county has come in, and they're wanting the property. Well, come to find out, it's the DOT and the county together. So now it's gone into like a federal type thing. But the sellers have decided that they want to call an attorney, eminent domain attorney, to find out, you know, what they think is going to go on with it. And so they decided that they wanted to go that route. My question is once they settle with the eminent domain, does the contract that I had, the listing that I have with the sellers, does that still hold to where I would still get my commission from that? Or because the attorney says from now on, he's taking care of everything. So does the original...
The attorney for the state on the eminent domain?
No. The attorney for the sellers. Because I told them, I said, you might want to contact an eminent domain attorney to see, you know, exactly what, you know, because I don't want to leave any money on the table for you, because the county, their offers that they were given were like, they were lowballing. So they decided to just ask an attorney. So now the attorney said, you know, don't have any more, you know, to do with it. Just, I will handle it from this point on. So does the contract that they originally signed, the listing, does it still stand? Or is it
All right, so I need to back up. I need to back up for a second. So this was property you owned, and you listed it for sale, and was there a closing?
No. I'm selling it for them. I have it listed for the sellers.
Oh, you're selling it. So you listed it for sale, and then the state proceeded with an eminent domain process.
They haven't done it yet. So here's hoping. I have it for sale. They contacted me because I'm the realtor. They contacted me for the, you know, to inquire about buying it. So they went out, had it appraised, and they've done the appraisal. They came back, and what we had it listed for, they came in like a lowball offer. We came back at another offer, and it's been going back and forth. So finally, I spoke with the sellers. I said, look, why don't you talk to an attorney who does eminent domain and see what they, you know, see what they say. You know, because I have a feeling if we don't, you know, come to a sort of agreement, they're going to go that route anyway. So they did. So then when they talked to me, when my sellers talked to the attorney, he said, Don't do anything else. I will take care of it from here on out. Okay.
Well, so do you have a signed? Okay. So do you have a signed listing agreement with the seller?
Yeah, I do. I do.
And what's the term on that?
It's the term is through. It's still valid through December.
Well, I think you, regardless of the eminent domain, I think you have a signed listing agreement good through December.
Yeah.
And they would have to try to counsel that and negotiate counseling that. And maybe the attorney will try to negotiate counseling that, but you have a signed contract with listing agreement. So my first thought is that's going to be a valid listing agreement until it's canceled.
Okay. So no matter, even if the attorney does all the work and they finally settle whatever it is that, you know, I should still get my percentage.
I don't know if there are any, little statutes in the eminent domain. You know, if the seller winds up losing it to the state through an eminent domain takeover, we'll call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm not sure if there's any exceptions to the statute on whether a commission would still be due paid on what the price the state paid. I'm just sitting here today. I'd probably have to research that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I just wonder. I've never had to deal with this.
That's a unique question,
it, so.
Basically. But how much do you think the state would pay for it? See, the attorney's going to fight to get a higher price. You know, that's what the attorney's going to do.
Yeah, I'll say the original listing they had it up for was over $500. So, but, you know, it's just been back and forth. They said, and the county said, well, they'll never get that. So, but now the attorney's involved, so... Who knows what's going to happen from there? I mean, it would be so much easier for the county just to pay out what the sellers want without having to pay for attorney fees and everything else. So,
is the state trying for additional properties, adjoining properties? This is a unique property. I mean,
they have to have it because of the location. It's the traffic in this corner is. It's treacherous, so they have to have it because it's just a mess. They built up around it and didn't realize that the roadway was not sufficient for traffic.
Well, what could happen is, you know, come December, it'll still be unresolved.
Well, they want to have it done by December. They want to have it done this year. They said they want everything done. They want to be started and everything by the end of the year. So I'm hoping it's not going to take that long, but we'll see. I just was just wondering about that.
Yeah. So, I think your listing agreement is still valid until canceled, and I'm not sure whether the eminent domain proceeding is enough. There's some statutory language in that proceeding that would cancel it.
Yeah.
I were you, maybe I would have an attorney contact, since the attorney doesn't want to be bothered and he wants to handle everything. Just have your attorney write him a letter saying, as far as you and your attorney are concerned, the listing agreement is still valid, and even upon the sale to the state of Florida, you're still expecting a commission, and put the attorney on notice and see what happens.
Okay, great. Good idea.
All right.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, and if you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Maury in Sarasota. Maury, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question that my family currently has two bank accounts that the amount in it right now is only like $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a land contract that will be going amount, monthly amount that will be going into this monthly with a payoff in like 3 years. And it's only going to be about $150 by the time we're done. But there's 9 siblings, and these two bank accounts are only, and the signers are only myself and one sister. Now,
signers.
I have a brother.
So who's the owner?
On the bank account.
Who's the owner of the bank account, though?
Well, it would be in my name and my sister's.
Okay, so two signers are the two owners, okay?
Correct. And then there's
But there's nine total.
Nine siblings.
So nine siblings, correct. So we have a wayward brother that he would like to put all of this in a trust, which is fine, and it makes sense. However, he wants his name on the trust, and he wants his name on the bank accounts. Well, we don't trust what he's going to do with a bank account, so we're not going to let him be on the bank account.
We'll create a trust just for his share.
Well, but we don't. But at this time, we want to do it with just what's there.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, who, is this money in an estate? Whose money is this?
It is not.
And where did this money come from?
It came from a brother that passed, and he was selling a land contract. He was selling a property on land contract, and that money was to go into this particular account for the siblings. And so now,
well, did brother have a will? Did brother have a will that says, in the interest in this land contract, was to be divided in nine equal shares?
The will, no, but there is written information that other information that says that this is what that money is for, and it was to go into that. But I guess my primary question is, can this wayward brother create a trust with these bank accounts, and his name is not on the bank accounts?
Well, I would say, without knowing any more information, no. And I would say, to satisfy the brother, you create a trust and just put 1/9 of the money in that trust, and then work out the terms of who the trustee would be and how the money would be distributed. It sounds like you really need some help from an attorney, though, because it sounds like all of this money comes into this account, and then you start doling it out, and you're the owner of the account, then you're going to give away more than $15,000 per person. There are going to be some gift tax issues, and there might be a better way to do it than what you're doing. You probably need to sit down with an attorney and figure out the best way to handle all this, including dealing with the one sibling.
As opposed to putting it in a trust.
Well, yeah, because you might have you and your sibling that are co-owners of the account, you know, could just have an attorney deal with him and tell him this is the way it's going to be. This is the way we're handling this estate or the money from this account. And, you know, just put him on notice it's going to be handled this way once you decide the best way to handle it. I don't think the way you're doing it is probably the best way to handle it, but I have limited knowledge of the whole circumstance.
Yeah,
but
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so it doesn't sound like to me just you two being the owner. Suppose you two got sued. Suppose one of you got sued, and you're the owner of a couple $100,000 in an account. Well, they're going to look at the ownership of that account, and they're going to sue you, and that money's in jeopardy, I would say. So it needs to be, maybe it all needs to be in a trust, and maybe the two of you would be trustees of the trust, but it certainly wouldn't make him a trustee of the trust from what it sounds like.
Yeah, but he cannot create a trust with these accounts if his name isn't on the account.
Well, he can create a trust, but he wouldn't have any authority, since you two are the owners, to move any money into that account.
Okay, that's my question.
Yeah.
I fear that if we tell him that we're not going to put him on the bank account, he's going to proceed trying to get a trust to put these accounts into, but he's not on them. So he wouldn't be able to do that because his name's not on the bank account. Is that correct?
No, we'll just tell him you'd be glad to transfer his share to his own trust per his instruction.
Okay.
But that's, that would be my first thought. But I think you need an attorney to help guide you through this whole process, and maybe an attorney even to deal with him.
Yeah.
All right.
It sounds like it. Yep. Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. You have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. Let's go to Randy and Bartow.
Good morning.
Hey, Randy.
Hey, how are you? I had a couple questions. My wife, she gets SSI, I guess it's called, for disability. And when she learned that, they terminated her employment because the doctor wouldn't release her to go back to work due to the job on the work job injury.
Mm-hmm.
Their doctor wouldn't release her, so they terminated her. Okay, well, we got beyond that, and part of those injuries that she got from that working there, later she ended up being on disability. And we called that company and requested about trying to get her retirement started. You know, and they told us that she was not allowed to do that until she was 65 due to that wasn't the reason she got terminated, or she wasn't put on disability immediately after she got terminated, because she did later on get disability, and part of those injuries were related to that job that she got her disability on.
Was she on workman's comp?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And is she still getting workman's comp?
She was on workman's. Well, not now. It's been a few years now. When she got terminated, she was on workman's comp, because they had a stipulation in their rules and their employment thing that if you couldn't return to work within a 6-month period, they would terminate you. And even though she was still under the workman comp doctor's care. And so we got beyond that, and she went and got another job. But the injuries that she occurred on that job ended up, some of that and a few more health reasons, that all combined, she ended up getting disability for that part, you know, and that was listed part of the injuries why she got disability.
Did you have a workman's comp?
They won't allow her.
Yeah. Did you have a workman's comp attorney during this process?
Yeah, we did hire one, and she settled as far as the medical with that company. But we thought, okay, well, that's the end of it. And then we thought about the retirement that she had. And I called, and they said no, she wouldn't be entitled to it until she was 65, because she left under those conditions. And at that time, she wasn't considered disabled. But a couple of years down the road, it all enhanced, and part of that was part of the she got disability.
How old is she?
Oh, she is 56.
Yeah.
And well, she's been on disability for a few years now. And when I call her, their response is no, she's not entitled to it. No, she's not entitled to it. Even though those injuries that she had on the job, part of that was, part of the disability.
How much disability money is she getting monthly?
I think she gets a little over $1,200 a month.
Yeah, well, I think there's a good chance that she won't get her retirement until she's 65. But, I don't want to give you an absolute answer on that without knowing more. So probably need to get you the workman's comp attorney should be able to help you further that you had on getting to the bottom of that question of whether she could get an early retirement because of her disability or whether she's getting the maximum disability payments that she should get, and that's all she's going to get. I think the workman's comp attorney that you have retained before, if you still have a good relationship with that attorney, would probably give you a better answer than I could on the radio here today.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you one other question, okay? Because she has to pay taxes on. What's the difference between that? I guess one's SSI and one's SSA or something like that. Maybe. What?
You're getting garbled on me now. I can't understand you.
She has to pay taxes on that every month. What's the difference? Why would she have to pay taxes on it instead of just like drawing Social Security, I guess, or whatever? I don't know the difference on that.
On the disability payment?
Yes.
All right. Sir, I think it probably be the better thing for you to do is, do you have someone do your taxes for you at all? Because there are some exemptions on those type of things. You know, you could do some type of tax service. Would be your best bet before you file your next return to bring in your papers and show them the disability payments and everything and what kind of documents you have from Social Security, disability, and lets a person see if you have some exemptions and how to best do your tax return would be the best answer I could give you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for your help.
All right. My pleasure.
Thank you for what you do.
God bless you. Thank you so much. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open for a few more minutes today. And if I can help you in any way, all you have to do is to dial the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Joe in Sarasota.
Yes, sir. First of all, thank you for being so kind and considerate to give us your time. I really appreciate it.
Well, my pleasure.
And thank you, sir. My question is regarding probate. I had a father, 94 years old, that passed away in 2019.
Very sorry
for
your
loss. He left a will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, I wasn't really connected to him. He left my mother with seven young children, and she was pregnant.
Okay? Oh, my goodness.
He deserted us.
Yeah,
he remarried and he had three daughters. My question is, in his will that was done, there was no lawyer present. He had dementia. And in the will, he completely excluded his children, meaning my siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is that he appointed his daughter as the executor of the estate. And I was wondering, do I have any legal recourse?
Well, okay, so here's what I heard. He had dementia when he made his will. So you could, a will can be contested and set aside if there was incompetence or undue influence, so the main two reasons. But even though, to answer your question further, even though the will could be set aside, if the will could be set aside, and he had no spouse living at the time of his death, there would be some division among his children. So the one of the big questions probably is it economically worthwhile? You know, what assets did he have when he died? Was he a wealthy man when he died? Did he have a really small estate? So you have to kind of figure out whether it'd be worthwhile trying to prove he was incompetent when he made the will and the will is therefore invalid.
Well, it was close to $200,000. There's no other problem.
Yeah, so how many total children are there?
Well, there was eight on my side, five surviving, and then he has his three daughters.
Yeah.
Second man.
Did the deceased children have children?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, so you got to figure out how many. So the deceased children's children would be entitled to a share. So if there were 15 total children, and three of them had died, then there'd be 1/15 divided among the children of the deceased. So, I mean, you get up to a fairly big number, so everybody's going to get, you know, $10,000 or $15,000. So then you have to figure out and then you have to send money proving that he was incompetent, which means you need to have doctor's statements and go through a big, long process. So really it's an economic question of, is it really worth it? And, you know, if you can prove incompetence when it was made with doctors' affidavits and stuff, you might have a chance. But,
the only reason I really want to pursue it is because it's like his final legacy.
Yeah, exactly.
His own children, you'd be exposing his true nature in a legal process.
All right, Joe, I'm out of time, though, but I hope that helped.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Good. Thank you. So I want to remind you again that on 96.3 FM out of Sun City Center, there's an interview that was done with Kim. The show's called Connecting with Kim. And it'll be played on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3:30. It's kind of a revealing interview of why I started the show Ask an Attorney. Some of my thoughts about the show, longest running show in Florida, 37 years. Kim is a great interviewer. Just as good as Oprah, I would say. And I'm sure you'd enjoy the interview if you take time to listen to it. Again, it's at Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3:30 p.m. on 96.3 FM. Hey, you have a great, great weekend. Thanks for listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. You take care. Be safe.